Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Oh, lovely. Just did a big stretch there and pulled a muscle in my shoulder. That's a good start to the show. Good morning, everybody. It's Dermot Whelan here. I'm sitting in for Oliver today. It's Wednesday, 5th of November. I'm with you all till 10 o'clock. Remember the 5th of November. Let us know what you're thinking in the usual way. You can text 51551. You can WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32, or you can send longer thoughts by email to oliver@rte.ie. Yeah, so good morning. We have a cracking show for you today. Cork comedian Chris Kent is coming into studio to join us today. He has been touring the country this year with his show Offline. It's called that because he gave up the internet for 2 whole months. And I know that sounds kind of, theoretically easy, but in practical terms, maybe not. It means he didn't use Google Maps. He didn't do internet banking. He couldn't book accommodation online and was forced to sleep in a tent. So we'll hear how he got on with all the details when we meet Chris in studio in a little while on the show. But I tell you what, lads, it's all happening in America. That was the moment the people of, not New York, of Los Angeles in California saw on the big screen they were looking at that Zoran Mamdani has won the New York City mayoral race. Excitement for many people are all around the states, not just the people in New York, particularly, it has to be said, the people who don't see eye to eye with what Trump is doing. But some, it's fair to say, got a little too enthusiastic for change. God love them. After getting calls about polls being closed in the state of Kentucky and people not being able to vote, Secretary of State Michael Adams was forced to take to X to explain why the polls were closed. And he said, "They are closed because we do not have elections today. Kentucky votes next year. You cannot vote today in Kentucky for the mayor of New York City or the governor of Virginia. Sorry." So they were so enthusiastic, they forgot that they didn't have any elections and they couldn't vote for the governor of another city. Bless their cotton socks. But I tell you what, speaking of voting, I can tell you what people won't be voting for in next year's Emmys. Have you heard about Kim Kardashian's new divorce drama, All's Fair? It's set in an all-female Californian law firm delivering justice to incredibly rich but very unlucky women. There is an amazing review in The Guardian today, and journalist Lucy Mangan is pulling no punches. She gave it 0 stars. Yes, you heard that correctly. She gave it 0 stars. Before we say here exactly what Lucy had to say about it, here is a clip where Naomi Watts, that's the thing about the cast is really good. Naomi Watts and Niecy Nash, their characters comfort Kim Kardashian's character of Allura after she has been betrayed by her husband, who of course is called Chase.
How could he do this? How could he want somebody else? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna find his ass and I'm gonna cut off that big Philly.
He's intimidated. Weak men just can't handle strong women.
What's that look?
This moment. I always knew this exact moment would darken my doorstep, and here it is.
What's the moment, honey?
That he would leave. That he was 10 years younger than me, and he would leave me for someone younger. I mean, am I no longer vital anymore? Is it someone else's turn? Are the best years behind me?
No, best is yet to come.
Are you crazy? This is not about age or age difference. This right here is about character. You don't have a good picker. Flash and trash swivels your head.
I don't disagree.
What? I don't have a good picker?
Nope.
I settled all because of what, low self-esteem? Did I not love myself enough?
Amazing. Oh, my God. Is everyone feeling vital today? Are you feeling vital? The review is amazing in The Guardian. Lucy Mangan writes, I did not know it was still possible to make television this bad, but I was wrong, she says. Not even Glenn Close can save this Ryan Murphy disaster from its dismal plots, clueless characters, and the worst kissing scenes ever filmed. Beyond the embarrassment of the script, there is the embarrassment of the performances. Kim Kardashian is as expressionless as you might expect, but is at least inoffensively useless. Naomi Watts preens and pouts and poses in search of a character and reminds you of nothing so much as Ally McBeal at her very worst, delivering her lines so archly that you can almost hear her joints cracking. Ouch. And before we even think it, she adds, so bad, it's not good. Nowhere near. And do not let this tempt you into watching it. I watched it last night, okay? I knew that we were going to be talking about it today. So I sat down and I watched it. And I look, I keep an open mind with these things. I understand that, you know, sometimes these shows aren't aimed at me. They're not aimed possibly at my demographic, by gender, whatever. But I kept an open mind. But I tell you what, I can't disagree with that journalist. I think it may be the worst TV show I have ever seen. And I am old enough to remember Leave It to Mrs. O'Brien, okay? I just sent a shudder through the country there. It was so bad, in fact, I watched it twice. Let me explain. I finished it, and after sitting in stunned silence for a few minutes, I called my wife in and said, you have to watch this. It's so bad. And then we sat down and we watched it again. And as I say, I'm not being unkind unnecessarily or overreacting or misunderstanding a show that's centered around women and not aimed at me. I get that those shows aren't aimed at me, but this makes Sarah Jessica Parker's and Just Like That look like The West Wing. Honestly, when I was watching it, I'll tell you, I couldn't stop thinking. And I wonder, am I right? I was wondering, is it written by AI? Because you just get this feeling like, I know this is a real TV show and there are people in it, but at the same time, it doesn't seem real. By that clip, you can tell that it's sort of an approximation of what a TV show should look and sound like. If it is AI, then I would imagine that the prompt put into the computer was probably something like, okay, before we get started, ChatGPT, drink the digital equivalent of 6 gins. Okay, now, write a TV show starring Kim Kardashian as a hotshot lawyer who wins cases by using motivational quotes from her own perfume ads. Excellent. Every female character should over-explain their feelings. No one should do any actual legal work. Everyone should drink Proseccos at 7 in the morning. Every man should have the moral compass of Skeletor from He-Man. Each scene should include at least one slow-motion hair flip that qualifies as a plot twist. And there should be so much Botox on show that even the viewers should have frozen forehead. I hope all that didn't put you off, but sure, look, on a day where we heard that the housing crisis is going to last at least another 20 years, you know what? I think we all deserve a good hate watch. If you fancy it, All's Fair is on Disney Plus now. If you're looking, longing for the days, literally that TV show has left me speechless. If you're longing for the days when a man held a door for a lady or pulled out her chair in a restaurant, then prepare to drop your silk handkerchief delicately on the floor. A new list has been revealed of 39 steps to be the perfect gentleman. And apparently there's much more to it than just holding the odd door or lighting a lady's cigarette. Although nobody smokes now, so I guess the modern equivalent of chivalry would be, may I charge your vape, madam? The list is edited by etiquette expert William Hansen. Yes, that is a job. It appears in the latest Country Life magazine, which I'm sure you're all rushing out to buy. And it includes these gems. See if you agree with them. A true gentleman writes prompt and pithy thank you letters. I think that one would rule 99% of us men out of the chivalry race first thing. I think as soon as you get married, as soon as you're in a relationship, you tend to outsource even signing cards to your other half. He never runs for things in public. A gentleman never runs for things in public. Do you know what? I would tend to agree with that one because I think our parents' generation, I don't think I ever saw my dad run. Like... if he was in a hurry, he wouldn't. I don't remember him running for a flight or running for a bus. Or I think it was just a generational thing. They all turned 30 and just never ran anymore. Whereas modern parents run for everything. You know, there's people running around pushing kids and buggies and all that good stuff. A gentleman apparently enjoys sport he may play, but doesn't bang on about it. Okay, please take note, CrossFit fanatics and Hyrox fans. A gentleman has spare wellies for guests. I would suggest that perhaps you have lots of paddocks and fields surrounding the house. I'm not sure why you necessarily need the old extra spare wellies in your duplex apartment. Has a dog. A gentleman has a dog who knows their place isn't on the bed. Again, I am completely ruled out of that one. The first thing I did this morning was let the dog out of their own bed so they could get up into our bed. And he doesn't include said dog when signing Christmas cards. Oh, well, that rules me out as well, because I always put Buddy on the Christmas cards. Do you guys do that as well? Do you include? I think you have to include the dog as well. You know, we could even put a little, sketch on a little paw print for extra effect. And a gentleman isn't snobby about airlines, apparently. I would disagree with that. I think a kind of a gentleman would always fly business class, you know. That's how I would see it. Anyway, I can't imagine Sean Connery saying, "Money Penny, book me an easy flight jet. Book me an easy flight, easy jet flight to Magaluf and put me down the back near the jacks." I can't see him doing that. You can add yours to the list if you think there are certain things that a gentleman must or mustn't do. You can text 51551 or 0870 32 32 32. It's the news you've all been waiting for. We have a new sexiest man alive, and I'm sure many of you will agree with them. Lord Anthony Bridgerton. Yes, the actor Jonathan Bailey has won the big award from People magazine. You'll know him as the heartthrob Fiero from Wicked, Dr. Loomis from Jurassic Park, or maybe Sam from Crashing. Former winners include John Krasinski, Dwayne Johnson, Patrick Dempsey, Chris Evans and David Beckham. Sir David Beckham, as he wants to be known from now on. I was utterly convinced that he had already received a knighthood, but apparently not. Oh, he's Sir David now. I was reading through some of Bailey's interview questions. He's definitely having a bit of crack with the new title. He is the first openly gay man to be chosen by People for the title of World's Sexiest Man, but he said he was thrilled the magazine chose someone who can really cherish the value of a sexy man. I was also looking at some of the other winners because People magazine have a whole host of awards in the Sexiest Man competition. Sexiest Tattoos was won by Dylan Efron, that's Zach's brother. Sexiest New Dad in Sports was won by American football player Christian McCaffrey. Sexiest Cat Dad, yes, that is a category, was won by Dave Franco. And the way it was written here on the text in front of me, all I saw first was Sexiest Cat. Which I hope isn't a category. And actor Michael Vartan won Sexiest Drew Barrymore Co-Star, which I imagine had a pretty short short shortlist. In fact, I was gutted to see that Brendan Courtney was voted Sexiest Oliver Callan Stand-In, which showed that I lost in a category of just two of us. So some bizarre categories, but hands together for Jonathan Bailey, the beautiful, beautiful man, which is a sentence in the script here clearly written by someone very biased on the Oliver Callan production team. Come here, The Simpsons are getting a dose of Irish royalty because not one, but two Gleasons are about to join the cast. That's so cool. Father and son duo Brendan and Donald Gleason are heading to Springfield, which of course is in a state that nobody knows, later this month as special guest stars. Every time I think of Donald Gleason, I kind of cringe a little bit because I did that thing. I met him in a toilet and I went to shake his hand at the urinal. Like, that is the... That is the cardinal sin of meeting a celebrity. And, you know, as you're doing it, as you're saying, you're like, what am I doing this for? Who am I? How did I become this person? He went with just a casual fist bump, which I think saved both our blushes in the moment. Anyway, Donald and Brendan are both going to play the role of Mayor Quimby's father, Joe Quimby Sr., at different stages of his life. It's a collection of flashbacks to make an episode, I assume. You know, Quimby, the corrupt mayor who all but hates the citizens of Springfield. Here's a reminder of him from the episode, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Legalized Gambling.
I propose that I use what's left of the town treasury to move to a more prosperous town and run for mayor. And once elected, I will send for the rest of you.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
The chair recognizes the little chick with the gleam of hope in her eyes.
This piggy bank contains $15 I saved from my allowance. It isn't much, but I would like to help.
Oh, just what I need to tip the skycaps.
I think he'll always be remembered for chowder, chowder, say it, Frenchie. The crux of this episode is that Bart is going to run against Quimby's son for student council president. And during the campaign, Lisa starts to uncover some truths about the Quimby clan and her own family. Side note on longevity, because this is the 37th season of The Simpsons, but it has been renewed so far that it's already guaranteed to make it to its 40th season. That's cool, isn't it? We should be able to see the Gleeson-filled episode on November 16th on our tellies here, Sky and Disney Plus. Freddie Quimby nephew. Is the nephew. That was Quimby's nephew. The Simpsons fans will be letting us know in great detail if we got any of that wrong. But look, let's play Ray, Where's My Husband, in honour of the divorce lawyers we were discussing in Kim Kardashian's new TV show. 51551 to get in touch. Good morning, everybody.